Glad you're back. Amen. And good to have our guests here tonight. God bless you folks. Good to see you again. Amen. And, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, what they're saying is the uncircumcision means Gentiles, and the circumcision are Jews. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of covenants contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. I want us to pay particular attention here tonight, going back a little ways to that 14th verse, speaking of Jesus Christ. It said, for he is our peace, who hath made both Jews and Gentiles one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Everybody say, he broke the wall down. Amen. He broke the barrier. He broke the barrier. Amen. And tonight, that's what I want to preach about. I want to talk about barriers that beg to be broken. Barriers that beg to be broken. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We are living in momentous times. There's never been a day quite like this day. If you are 70 years of age or older here tonight, you have seen more change than any generation that has ever lived on the face of the earth. You have seen amazing things in your lifetime. And if you're just 60 or 50 years old, you've seen some amazing changes in your lifetime. I remember the first time I saw a microwave oven. I was probably all 15 years old, maybe. And I saw it at the bank. And they were saying that this thing would bake a potato in like 3 minutes. And I said, I don't believe that, but even if it does, it'll never catch on. Amen. And I remember when I bought the first one. And it was really very, very expensive. But the church had blessed us with a Christmas offering. And we broke down and bought that microwave. And my, what a great addition that was. And now then, you know, you can't hardly do without one of the things. And it just becomes so, so amazing. And it wasn't but just maybe, 10, 15 years ago that these things started coming out. You remember the first ones? They carried them around in a bag. They had to have a big old bag. And it looked like a brick. I mean, a bag of bricks, really. And they were all terribly, terribly costly. And they didn't work very well. But man, if you had a car phone, you were important. You were really important if you had one of those. And then the first cell phones, they looked like bricks, you know, about that thick. You walked around with that thing against your ear hanging down here. You really looked like something from I Spy or some kind of thing. And that was amazing. And then they started getting smaller. And just amazing what's happened just in the last 10 years. First deputation, we wanted to get a cell phone, but they didn't work very well. Remember, you had to have, what do they call that? You had territories. And you had roaming charges. So if you got out of a certain little area, man, the price went way up. They were having to rent time from somebody else's tower. You couldn't afford a cell phone in those days. And just 4 years later, they had amassed grids all over the United States. And they were able to make the cost affordable. And now I can even talk on mine sometimes where I live. Every now and then I can get a signal. But it's just amazing, the technology. And the first computer that I bought was, I guess about 15 years ago perhaps. And man, it was big, it was powerful. It had 40 megabytes of memory. That was a lot. You'd never fill up that much space. Now then, that won't even run a printer. You couldn't buy a printer that it would work on. Impossible. But by the changes that have come about in our age. You look back, and in the first flight that Orville and his brother made, the Wright brothers in North Carolina, Kitty Hawk, and they traveled a huge distance of 852 feet in the air. Woo! 60 years later, the Apollo program began. And we went beyond the barrier into space. 66 years after that, after the Wright brothers first made their 852 flight, we had a man walk on the moon. Amen. Now we've got satellites, and we've made vehicles that'll go up and do what they need to do and come back and land like an airplane. What an amazing time. What an amazing time. That there are so many records that are being broken constantly. Constantly. They thought that, I remember reading one time that when they first made cars, they said 66 is as fast as you'll ever be able to go. Because if you drive faster than 66 miles an hour in an automobile, it'll take all of your air away and you'll die. That's what they said. Well, that barrier's been broken. Severely broken. Amen. Chuck Yeager in 1952 broke the sound barrier, 2.4 Mach miles an hour, and shattered the sound barrier. Now, then there are commercial flights. Well, they used to be. I guess they got too expensive or something. Amen. And we have airplanes that can go that fast and much faster. It's an amazing time that we live in, folks. But there are some barriers that still need to be broken. There are some barriers that still must be broken. Jesus Christ came to break barriers. And my, what he did break. Amen. Hallelujah. A barrier by definition is something that divides, that separates, something that comes in between. And there are many things that come between men and God. And Jesus came to break barriers and build bridges. And that he has done in an awesome and an amazing way. This woman in the Bible that Jesus met had a barrier in her life. She was born in the wrong time. That was her problem. She was born too early to be included. But Jesus had gone to her region. Now, the thing about Jesus, he was very unconventional. He was not bound by what everybody else was bound by. He did not have the prejudices that other people had. Amen. And so he went to an area, the Bible said, called Tyre and Sidon. Now those were Phoenician cities along the coast in a place called Syria. And they were about 40 miles north of his town of Capernaum that he kind of made his headquarters for ministry. And Sidon was about 60 miles north. And they were coastal cities. They were natural barriers. And so they were port cities or harbors, if you will. And they were famous from long, long ago. The Phoenicians were the first that learned how to sail and tell direction by the stars. And they became the great mariners from nobody knows how long ago. And so Jesus went into that area. Now people didn't go there, or I should say Jews didn't go there, because they considered that Gentile territory, because only Gentiles lived there. But do you know that that was a part of the promise that God gave to Israel? He gave that land to Israel. They just never possessed it. They never drove out the enemies. It was an unclaimed promise. I wonder if we have any of those in our lives. I wonder if there's some areas that God has promised you that you have not yet claimed. I wonder tonight if some of us are living below our privilege. Amen. Some things that God would like for us to have and like for us to do, but we're not there yet. But when Jesus came, He walked in all of the promised land. Amen. He didn't respect the normal barriers and borders. But He said, this is promised land. Just because you never claimed it, just because you never possessed it, it's still promised land. And I'm going to walk in all of the promise. So Jesus went there. It was a good place to take a little vacation because He didn't think anybody would bother Him up there. Wrong. He found a little house and He had His disciples in there, and suddenly somebody came pounding on the door. He opens up the door and there's a little lady standing there from the region. She was a Greek lady and from that region. And then she says, as soon as she opens the door, she says, sir, my daughter is vexed with the devil. Would you come and heal my daughter? Well, he didn't respond. And so she started crying. Oh, that's bad. When women start crying, that's tough. Ooh. And she started crying. She knew how to turn on the tears. But the thing is, it was real. It was genuine. She had a great need. And she had found somebody that she knew could do something about her daughter. And so she cried. And Jesus just let her cry. You know what I think He was trying to do? I think it was a little test for His disciples. So finally they come up with a solution. You want to hear their solution? They said, Lord, send her away. Get rid of her. Tell her to leave us alone. All this crying is getting on my nerves. That was their solution. Send her away. And you know what? That's some people's solution to problems. Just send them away. Amen. Did you know not everybody that comes to church is easy to get along with? Now that's a shock to you. So what's the solution? Send them away. There are people that come into the church that struggle with things. Now, I know God delivers some people instantly, but there are other people that struggle with some things for a while. So what's our solution? Send them away? Oh no, that's not our solution. Amen. Praise God. Just find a way. Love always finds a way. Love always finds a way. So finally, when Jesus spoke to this woman, he said, very interesting what he said here. Let me kind of read the verse over in the book of Mark, in the I believe it's about the 7th chapter where this is recorded. And so Jesus says to this woman a very, very interesting thing. He said, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or not right to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs." Now, boy, that's an insulting thing to say. Amen. Call somebody a dog. That wouldn't work today. People are so thin-skinned. Amen. People get their feelings hurt so easy. They get their hackles up over a little bit of nothing. How would you like to be called a dog? Amen. And the Bible said the little lady looked at him, and her eyes were twinkling by now because she knew she had it. There were two things that she picked up in that little speech that he gave. First of all, he said, "Let the children first." Amen. So he said, she's thinking, well, if they're first, that's okay. But there's still some for me. I don't got to be first. I don't care if I'm first. Just let me in on it. Amen. I don't have to be first place, but just let me be someplace. That's all that matters. If I can just get into the kingdom somehow, that's all that really matters to me. So she found one word to latch on to. And her faith reached out and grasped that. And the second thing, when he said dogs, she said, "All right, man, I got that. I didn't miss that one either." You see, the word for a mongrel was a kuon. But he didn't call her a kuon. Instead, he called her a kunarion. And a kunarion is a pet dog. I don't know if you got a pet dog, but I got a pet dog. And she's got it pretty good. I tell you what, she's really got it good. Amen. Even if I'm upset with my wife, I'll talk to my dog. I'm not upset with my wife, don't get me wrong. That's just an exaggeration. That's hyperbole. Jesus used that for teaching as well. But dogs, they have a way of getting in your heart. I didn't want a dog. But my brother was real smart. He gave it to my daughter. How do you say, well, she can't have a dog for her birthday when she's like 21 years old? Just happened to be living in my house. So she was going to school, so I had to go get the dog. Well, the dog looks at me, and instantly she says, "That's my master." Amen. And she's got these big old, or did have, big old brown glistening eyes. Now they got cataracts on them, so they don't glisten as much as they did. Amen. And she's pretty much blind. And that even makes it worse. Amen. Because now I really can't get rid of her. I'm not going to get rid of a little blind dog and throw it out somewhere. So I'm stuck. So as soon as she heard that word, kunarion, she said, I got it. I'm picking it up, Lord. Keep talking, because we're on the same wavelength here. You are opening a door here. And I see a door being opened. Amen. Praise God. I found an opening here, and I'm going to go for it. And so she said, yes, Lord, you're telling the truth. But even the kurion, the little lap dogs, the little pet dogs, they get the crumbs from the master's table. I'm not asking for children's bread. I'm not asking for somebody else's blessing. I'm not asking you to take something from someone else. But I'm just asking for the portion that I know that you have. Amen. He's a God of abundance tonight. He's not the God that stings you and there's just enough. But it's always abundant and it's always more. He taught us that with the first miracle he ever did. When Jesus turned the water to wine, he made about 125 gallons worth of the stuff. And it wasn't so people would get drunk. It was just so that they would understand he's a God of superabundance. Hallelujah. He's not a God of half measures. Amen. But when he does something, he does it wholeheartedly. Amen. And there's always more than enough. When he fed 5,000, there were 12 baskets full left. When he fed 4,000, there were 7 baskets full left. He always is the God of more than enough. So she latched on to that. Amen. Jesus found a way to break a barrier. Hallelujah. And he found some faith in that little lady's heart. And he couldn't resist it. Just because it wasn't her fault. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen. So he made a way. Praise God. He made a way. Hallelujah. He is indeed still the way maker. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There was another woman that had a problem and didn't know she had a problem. Have you ever had a problem and didn't know you had a problem? She did. And her problem was that she had the wrong relation. Matter of fact, all of her relations were messed up. Jesus told his disciples one day, he said, we need to go to Galilee. Now, the prejudiced Jews, in order to get to Galilee, they would cross over the Jordan River and they would go up through the land of Perea and then they would cross back into Galilee so they didn't have to go through Samaria because they hated Samaritans. We'll do some silly stuff when we get some hatred in our heart. I've seen people get a little hatred in their heart and they'd cross the street if they saw somebody coming. In a grocery store, they'd turn and go down another aisle. And nobody here has ever done anything like that. Thank you. I know you haven't. But there are people that get stuff like that in their heart. Amen. And the Jews had that kind of thing going on. And so they would literally go out of their way, go the long route, just so they didn't have to go through Samaria. But Jesus said, I got to go to Samaria. Amen. Somehow in his spirit, he picked something up. Amen. And he was standing at Jacob's well. Jacob's well is still there today, and it still has water in it. At least it did a few years ago when I was there. Amen. It still tastes like water. And you can still drink at it. You can still draw at it. And after all these years. And so Jesus stopped there and he sat down and the disciples went into the nearest little town to get some food. And while they were gone, it was noontime. Hot. In the hottest part of the day. And this little lady comes out. Now, if you understand something about Jewish culture, women would go out early in the morning while it was cool and draw water at the well and gossip there. If you can imagine that. Now people do that around the water cooler. Whatever kind of cooler. They'll just get together, and that's what they did. They'd all get their water box early, and they'd go out while it was cool, and they'd draw water, and they'd talk about what was going on and everything. And the fact that this woman came at noon says something about her. It tells us that she wasn't part of the in crowd. It tells us that she was not accepted in polite society. It tells us that she had fallen out of favor with everybody else. So she comes at noon when she knew that nobody would be there. And there she found a Jewish man sitting at the well. And Jesus says to the woman, draw me a drink if you would. And she looks and she said, well, this is odd. Why would you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan? Jews don't like Samaritans. Jews hate Samaritans. Why would you ask me for a drink of water? I have the wrong relation here. And then he said, well, he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask him for a drink of water. Hallelujah. And she said, well, this well's deep. You don't have anything to draw with. He said, the water that I'm talking about, it shall be in you. A well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. He said, it's in me. Hey, the kingdom of heaven is within us. Praise the Lord. When you pray to God, you're not praying to somebody way out there somewhere on a distant throne. He's right here. Hallelujah. He's on the inside. The well is on the inside. Hallelujah. He said it's going to be on the inside. It's going to be springing up. It's living water. Hallelujah. And so then he switches gears a little bit. And he says, go get your husband. She said, oh, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right. You've had five, and one you got now is not your husband. And then she said, I think you're right. And then he switched from that to worship. She said, well, she said, our fathers, and this was how this whole Samaritan thing started. After the kingdom divided, in the book of Kings and book of Chronicles, after David died, the kingdom divided after Solomon. Solomon's son was an unwise man, unlike his father. And he made the burden so great on the people. If you make things too hard for folks, there's always somebody else going to make it easy for folks. And so another leader said, well, you know, Jeroboam said, I'll just take this bunch and I'll make it easy on you. You don't even have to go to Jerusalem to worship. We're just going to build us an altar right here in Samaria. And you won't have to go all the way down to Jerusalem to worship. You can just worship up here. They're going to make it easy for you. Anytime anybody starts making worship easy for you, you got a problem. The worship always includes sacrifice. And if there's no sacrifice in your worship, it's not worship at all. When David bought the threshing floor, Arana said, I'll give you the threshing floor. He said, oh, no. He said, how can I offer to God that which cost me nothing? If I'm going to offer something to God, it's got to cost me something. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm not looking for an easy way. Hallelujah. I want to serve God in a way that's going to cost me something. He gave everything. Ought we to give less? Praise the Lord. He gave everything for me. Ought I give less for Him? So, the subject of worship comes up. And she says, our fathers say that we should worship here in this mountain. You Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem. What do you say? Jesus said, well, he said, the time is coming and now is that the Father seeketh worshipers. God's still looking for worshipers. And he said, they that would worship God must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. Praise the Lord. They got on the subject of Messiah. And Jesus said, he that speaketh to you, that's me. Man, I love this part of the story. The Bible says that she left her water pot there. She was so excited. You're talking about an unlikely witness. Here's a woman living in adultery that has a bad reputation. You know, God's not too concerned about your reputation. He's a whole lot more concerned about your character. And if he can deal with your character in time, your reputation will take care of itself. And so the lady gets all excited because of what she's found. And she runs back into town. She left her water. I think she left her water pot because she found a well. You don't need a water pot if you got a well. Hallelujah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I like that old song, here's my cup, Lord. That's a nice little sentiment, but it's not biblically correct for us. We don't have a cup, we got a well. Hallelujah. We don't come to church with our cup, holding it up, saying, fill it, Lord. Amen. But if you got what you ought to have, you come to church with a well that's springing up on the inside unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. So she left her bucket there. I don't need it anymore because I got the living water. Hallelujah. And this little old lady, she didn't have a good reputation. But I'm telling you, she had a testimony. And she ran into town and she said, come and see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? And the Bible said many people came out of the city to Jesus at the well. Hallelujah. And many people believed on him there. Jesus broke another barrier. Amen. You may not have the right relationship with God tonight, but he wants to break that barrier. You say, well, you don't know my background. I don't need to. You don't know where I came from. I don't need to. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to know. You don't know where I've been. I don't need to know. All I want to say to you tonight is that he broke the relationship barrier. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you were before or what you did before or what you were involved in before. What matters is that you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he broke the barrier and he made a way for everybody to come in. He said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we heard a story about an orphanage, and a little boy was adopted into a family out of the orphanage, and he goes to the house, and there's a glass of milk sitting there on the table, and he's eating his food, but he won't touch the milk. And finally they say, honey, aren't you going to drink your milk? He said, I don't know how deep to drink. And they said, what do you mean? He said, well, where I come from, he said, when we'll have a glass and we can only drink so deep, and then we got to stop because the next one drinks a little bit deeper. So how deep should I drink? And they said, you don't understand. That's all yours. And if that's not enough, there's some more waiting in the refrigerator. You drink as deep as you want to. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, when it comes to Jesus Christ, you get all you want of him. You drink as deeply as you dare. You take all that you can, and there'll always be more. Hallelujah. He broke that barrier. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He breaks the sin barrier, doesn't he? There's an odd story in the book of Luke, in the 7th chapter, there was a man, a Pharisee, by the name of Simon. And he invited Jesus one day to come to his house for supper. And Jesus went. You see, if you invite him, he will come. And so he went to Simon's house. Now the custom is that when you come into an honored guest, comes into the house of a person, there were three things that they normally would do. They would, first of all, of course, they would greet them. The Bible says, greet your brethren with a holy kiss. That's one verse that I kind of wish wasn't there. I've met a few men that still believe that verse, and it's really uncomfortable when they do. If you hadn't been kissed by one of your brothers yet, you're missing out on a lot. But it's just a little uncomfortable. But in Bible times, they did that. It was not odd. That was their culture. That's not our culture. Thank God we shake hands. Or at least those that are not afraid of germs do. Now we got folks that won't even do that. If they had their way, they'd wear a mask. Amen. And gloves on their hands. But we do have that germ killer stuff out there. So we're making advances. But thank God we shake hands now. But in Bible times, they actually greeted one another with a kiss. That was normal. And it was just a common greeting. And then they would also, because in Bible times they didn't have paved roads, they had dirt roads. And their shoes were really just kind of a something on the bottom with leather sewed on. You just strapped it over like sandals. And so the feet got real dirty. And so they would have a servant or somebody there, not a servant, themselves, and they would wash their feet. That was a common courtesy. And then the next thing they would have, usually they'd have some kind of an oil there, and they would put on their head to make things smell good. It was a symbol of hospitality. And so that was a symbol of anointing. And so when Jesus came into Simon's house, he didn't do any of those things. Now, a house like Simon's house was built with a courtyard and rooms around it. In the courtyard in the warm season, that's where they would gather and eat. And people could see who was in there. And people like Simon would invite people just out of curiosity. And he was one of those people that was a name dropper. You ever met a name dropper? They like to talk about certain names and associate themselves with certain names so that it makes them sound like they're really somebody. Because so-and-so, I know so-and-so personally. And he came to my house. I invited him for supper the other night. So he didn't know if Jesus was going to be a dud or not. But he invited him on the off chance that he might be real. Amen. So Jesus went. But when he got there, now in Bible times, when they went to the table, they didn't sit down like we do. They laid down. Usually they would lay on their left side on pillows, reclined on the floor, and the tables lower than this altar. And their feet would be stretched out behind them. They're reclined. And in their right hand, they didn't use forks and spoons. They had hands. So see, it's not rude to eat with your hands. Jesus did. Everything was finger food back then. And so that's how they would eat. They'd take bread and sop it around in gravy, and that's how they ate. It was a different culture than what we're accustomed to. But and their feet would be extended out. Well, this woman came in to the courtyard, and she went to where Jesus was, and she knelt down at his feet, and she literally began weeping profusely, and she washed his feet with her tears, and then she took her hair and let it down, which was in itself an unusual thing, because married women would never do that. And then she wiped his feet with her hair and dried them. And then she had an alabaster box of ointment that she had with her, and she broke that. It was very costly. It was very expensive. And she broke that box, and she took that perfume that was on the inside, and she anointed his feet with that. And that was quite a show of her love for Jesus. And while she's doing all that, Simon knew who the woman was. And he said, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was, who she is, and what kind of woman she is. And he wouldn't allow any of this. You know what's interesting about Jesus? He'll receive worship from people that we don't think ought to even be worshiping him. We have our own standard about who we'll allow to worship God. And if they don't meet our standard, they really should not be worshiping God at all, far as we're concerned. But God looked in her heart. He didn't just see her past. He saw the present, and he saw the future. That's what we've got to understand, folks. Don't chain people to their past. How many times have we talked to people, I don't believe that people can change like that. Yes, they can. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, people can change completely. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So she washed his feet, and Simon, oh, that's what's in his head. If he was a prophet, he'd know. He did know. Hallelujah. And then he said, Simon, I want to tell you something. Let me tell you a story. So there was a guy that owed five pounds, and there's another that owed 500 pounds of the same guy. He called them in, and he forgave both of them. One that owed him five, and one that owed him 500. He said, now which one of these do you think would love him the most? Simon said, well, I suppose the one that he gave 500 the most. He said, you've answered correctly. He said, when I come into your house, you didn't anoint my head. You didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't even offer me water to wash my feet. But since this woman came in, she's not ceased to wash my feet with her tears, dry them with the hairs of her head, and pour out her ointment on me. And then he speaks to the little woman. And you talk about breaking a barrier. He said, woman, thy sins be forgiven. And all Simon could think was, well, who is this to think he can forgive sin? Amen. He's a barrier breaker. He's a barrier breaker. He'll break barriers if you will allow him to. There are some barriers that are begging to be broken tonight. Amen. There are barriers in our lives. Some people, there's something that's holding you. And Jesus wants to break that barrier tonight. He wants to tear it down. Amen. He doesn't want anything between you and he. Amen. So let him break the barrier. If it's a barrier of sin, amen, just let him break it down. He can break it tonight. If it's a habit, if it's an addiction, if it's a problem, he can break it. Amen. He's a barrier breaker. And there are barriers that are still begging to be broken. Amen. One more instance when Jesus was walking with his disciples, they came upon this man. The Bible said that he was blind. And his disciples asked a normal question for the time. They said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, in that culture, in that time, people believed that if you were sick or had some kind of a problem, then you must have sinned, or somebody did. They believe that all sickness was a result of sin. And there are still people that believe that. There used to be a man in Athens, I don't know if he's still around or not, but he used to preach that on the radio. He preached that unless you sin, you'll not get sick. He believed that. And then one Sunday he wasn't preaching because he was sick. And everybody kind of wondered what he'd been up to. Amen. It's a false doctrine. It's a false doctrine. But they were convinced that this man was blind because either he had sinned and he was being punished, or his parents had sinned and he was being punished for his parents' sin. And Jesus answered the question. He said, neither this man nor his parents. But he said, he is blind that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what? We all want miracles, don't we? But we don't want to have a need. We rejoice over people that receive great healings, but we don't want to get sick. We rejoice over people that receive great financial blessings, but we don't want to have any financial needs. Huh? Oh, we want miracles tonight, but we just don't want to suffer to get one. But great miracles are the result of great needs. So this man had a great need in his life. Jesus came to him. I love this story. I love this story. Jesus came to this man, and he made some mud, and he smeared it in his eyes. And he said, go wash. Now you can be sure that he was going to go wash. You ever get mud in your eyes? I promise you're going to go wash. Sometimes we're a little reluctant to obey God, so he puts a little mud in our eye. He says, now you do what I told you to. Now I'm not sure why he did that. I also know, you know what we're made out of? Dirt. It could be that there was something missing in those eyes. And so Jesus just made one and stuck it in there. I don't know why he did that. It's a really unusual thing, isn't it? I don't know if he made a missing part, or I don't know if he was overcoming the man's reluctance. But he put the mud in his eyes and he said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now, this man was blind. So he makes his way. He can't see. But he makes his way to the pool. He has to feel his way along. He can't see how to get there. But apparently, he's been there before, and he knows the way. And so he's making his way down to that pool, tapping his way along, until finally he gets down to the pool of Siloam. And when he gets to the pool of Siloam, He kneels down and he washes like Jesus told him to. Amen. And he returns with his sight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You talk about a miracle. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine not ever being able to see? He was born blind. And he'd never seen. And the first thing that he saw was his reflection. Pool of water. Wow. And then he lifts up his eyes and he starts looking around. And you see, if you've never seen anything, you don't really know what things are, because you've never seen them before. Everything he'd ever seen, he saw it with his hands. He felt it. But now he sees openly. But he doesn't really know what he's seeing yet. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think everybody ought to be excited about that? But they were not. Did you know there were some people that said, how did you get your healing? Aren't you the blind man? Yeah, I'm the blind man. I was a blind man. I can see now. Isn't it wonderful? Well, how is it that you can see then? I said, well, this man called Jesus, put mud in my eyes, told me to go wash. I did. Now I can see. Isn't that wonderful? They said, wait a minute. Who's that? Jesus. Well, don't you know this is the Sabbath? He can't do that on the Sabbath. That's not right. We better go talk to the church leaders. So they drugged that poor man down to the Pharisees. And they said, this man, you remember that blind guy? Yeah, the one's always sitting out there. That's him. And now he says he can see. But he was healed on the Sabbath day. He couldn't be healed on the Sabbath day. You have always taught us that nobody can heal on the Sabbath day. If you want to get healed, you got to wait till Sunday or Monday or some other day. You can't do it on the Sabbath. So they asked him. He said, yep, that's exactly what happened. Jesus put mud in my eyes and went and washed. Now I can see. They said, well, he couldn't do that. That he did. I don't know whether he can or not. I don't know what he is. If he's a prophet, don't ask me. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. So they said, well, you know what you're talking about. You're only 20-something years old. We'll have to get your parents here. So they drug the parents into it. They said, yep, he's our son. Yep, he was blind. Appears he can see. Don't know how it happened. Don't want to get into it with you. That's all we know. Ask him. He's old enough. And so you know what the guys, they finally wound up, because he got his healing on the Sabbath day, they wound up kicking him out of the church. Isn't that something? Getting kicked out of church over a miracle. Imagine that. But you know what? When Jesus heard it, he came to him. I remember the story of Jesus walking on a Sunday morning. He saw a guy sitting outside church, sitting on the curb. And the guy was just sitting there looking all dejected. Jesus came by and sat down beside him. He said, what's wrong? The guy said, well, he said, I tried to go in the church there. He said, they wouldn't let me in. They said, they wouldn't let my kind in there. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. He said, but I've been trying to get in there for years. They won't let me in either. Amen. There are churches that he can't get into. You don't want to go in one of those kind of churches. Amen. You don't want to be in one of those kind of churches. And so he gets kicked out. Jesus comes to him. Hallelujah. And then he gets in the subject about Messiah. And the guy says, who is he? I'd like to believe in him. Jesus said, I am. And he fell down and he worshipped him. He broke the barriers. He opened his eyes. Not only his physical eyes, but he opened his spiritual sight as well. Amen. And the men that were supposed to be the leaders, Jesus said, you're still blind. You're blind because you refuse to see truth. Isn't that a travesty? Here's a man that was just born blind all of his life. And he not only could see physically, but he could see spiritually. And here are those with all the great degrees and the letters of the law, and they couldn't see at all. Just because you've been in the church for a long time doesn't mean that you have sight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Be careful that your relationship with God is fresh. Amen. Don't stop learning yet. I always remember what Brother Pugh said. I think he was in his 70s then when I heard him preach. And he said to the congregation, he said, it has been said that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. He said, but this old dog is dying to learn. When you get to the place that you think you know it all in the kingdom of God, you need to go back to school. We are His disciples. And the word disciple means learner. We are His learners. Amen. Amen. No matter how long you've been in this, no matter how much studying you have done, you still need to be a learner. No matter how many degrees you may earn, you still need to be a learner every day. There's a lot to learn about Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. We got some barriers to overcome. There's some barriers that beg to be broken. Amen. We need to break the barrier of prayerlessness. We need to break the barrier of unbelief. We need to break the barrier whatever barrier that gets in our way. Let's break barriers here tonight. Amen. Something holding you back, it's a barrier that begs to be broken. Something is standing between you and God. He's wanting to remove it. He wants to tear it down. Something impeding your spiritual progress, you tear it down. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. God doesn't want anything between you and Himself. Hallelujah. He wants free access tonight so that we can have freedom to come in to the presence of the Lord. Amen. There are barriers that beg to be broken. Amen. And He has broken down barriers, and He'll break down anything that tries to stand between you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are good people tonight that have allowed some barriers to stop their spiritual progress. Paul wrote to, I think it was the Galatian church, and he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians," he said, "who hath hindered you? Who has hindered you? You started out so well. You were running so well, but some things got in your way. Some hindrances came. Some barriers got in your way. And you stopped running. And you stopped running." Amen. Friend, if you get a barrier tonight, you just ask the Lord to remove it. Because I don't want anything to get in my way tonight. Amen. Praise God. I think it would be good to come and spend a few moments here tonight overcoming some obstacles. Don't let anything and don't let anyone hinder you. Amen. In the Galatians case, it was actually people that hindered them. It was religious teachers that hindered them. It was respected men of the law that hindered them. Robbed them of their liberty in Christ. And tried to bind them up once again in traditions. Amen. Don't let anything hinder you tonight. Amen. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything get in your way. Amen. Jesus, I want to overcome every barrier. Every barrier. Every barrier. Break it. Destroy it. Tear it down. Remove it. And let me walk in the light and in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. Not to let anything hang up my progress. Don't let anything stop me. Amen. There may be some hindrances, but help me to work until they come down. Amen. Let me pray until they come down. Amen. Let me fast, God, until they come down. Oh, so that nothing impedes my progress tonight in the kingdom of the living God. Ooh. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I thank you, Holy God. I thank you, Holy God. I thank you, Holy God. I'm going to have some problems and difficulties in life. I'm going to face challenges in life. There are going to be obstacles that will come in my path. Amen, of different kinds and different sorts and different sources. But God, whatever comes my way, help me to keep my eyes on Jesus. You said, looking unto Jesus, the author, the pioneer of our faith. Hallelujah. And the finisher. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, Lord, I started this race with the intention of finishing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul said that he had finished his course. That's what we're here tonight to do. Praise the Lord, we're here to finish what we started.